Blog Talk Radio.
And we're back here on Hump Day Central. Once again, we have overcome the obstacles, and Naked Soma Riff on this, joining you live from various locations around the globe. I am your host, Mark Filippi, and we have Professor Val over there. Make with the theme song already.
It's already on. It went by itself.
Oh, really?
That's
like we don't get to hear it now? That's
no,
the rule?
I don't think so. I don't know. Listen, if anybody heard it out there, call us and let us know that it actually played. I tried to set it up automatically. I don't know. What do I know?
Yeah, it'd be nice to. Can you play it again just for me?
I could if I was sitting at my computer.
Well, that would help.
Hang on a second. Let me find it.
All right.
You want to hear the one that I cut for the show?
Yeah, why not?
My nifty little program? All right, here we go.
Hefty production on the show.
Well, I tell you, we are good. Let's see. It's making me reboot the screen so I can get the play button. Oh, there it is. Okay.
Okay. And we're grooving.
Almost,
in case you heard this already, I didn't hear it the first time, so.
Here we go. Come on, baby,
make it hot. Rise the cop, see
baby, make it hot. Doing the doggy style. Wow, 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 yippee-yo, yippee-yay, bow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yo. Wow, 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 yippee-yo, yippee-yay, bow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yo.
How was that?
Edible. That was good.
Well, not bad. Not bad.
Yeah. All right, well, we are in the waning stages of the Philo week. You can towel off, come in, come out of the clouds, come out of the rain. It's over. The long national nightmare is over.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we tend to beat up on these Philos because they do overpopulate the planet. They are, you know, pretty much 60-70% of the population takes this domain as their own. And, you know, it's a strength in number situation with the Philos always because when you deal with them individually, you know, they're not as overwhelming as they are when they in mass and, you know, do their thing. What I want to do this week, because we have some new features from last time's show, last week's show, I want to remind everybody that on our corporate site, which is lightthepathlive.com, we have the four-domain self-profiler available. In case you don't know what the heck we're talking about when we start talking this language, there's four basic words to learn, Philo being the one we're going to feature this week. We've been talking about the other domains as we've been going through because we follow the moon here at Naked Soma. And each week we feature one out of pop culture so that you guys get an idea that these orientations, as we would call them, are they're everywhere. And we're in them. They're not in us. So when we talk about someone being a Philo, being an Onto, that's just their primary domain. That's just the one that they biologically kind of locked into developmentally. The other ones that they have around them, the secondary domains, being Onto, which is, we'll go explain them all as we go, Eco and Exo, are there to support that sort of decision that your system made so that you have an integrated sense of your environment. And that's when we talk in Philo, it's the first one we go into that first year of life when we're all bondy-bondy with mom and dad and things like that. So when you deal with Philo Nation, you're dealing with the traditional middle of the bell curve, you know, Americana kind of a thing, and it does get a little nauseating, frankly, being an eco, dealing with that. So where is our Philo? He's probably Philoing, actually, with his children right now.
Yep, I'm sure he is.
Philo Jeb. He will be moseying along from the land of maple syrup up there in New Hampshire. Whenever he can break free, he'll chime in, I'm sure. And I guess we'll take a second here and just break down these domains a little bit because people might be new to the show. See if we have any more callers yet, I don't think. Let's see. No, nobody yet. And let me give the number and stuff. So before I do that, let me go over here and get that for us. You know the number? Because I'm looking around for it.
No, I'm not in front of the computer.
I'll get it. Well, what are you doing the show? Get on the air desk?
Listen, I'm all over the place tonight. I'm mobile.
You gotta make sounds and everything.
I'll make sounds when I get over to the desk. I might make some on the way over to the desk.
Ah.
Let me see.
A little portable soundboard. It's the call-in number here is 646-478-4847. That's 646-478-4847. And the discussion tonight is dealing with a little belief system angle on the old philos that tends to get me pretty annoyed. I call it on the blog we put up on late on Monday, overcoming the DSL hurdles around here, was the philo shiny people. And we're dealing with that tendency for the philos to wear the rose-colored glasses, as it were. If you deal with a child, they deal with the philo perspective just from the perspective inside of the perspective. You have the first year of life, which is the biological analog of the philo domain, and then you have all of your childhood. The first 25 years of your life is really the beginning of your life, the spring of your life. And that's the innocence stage. So you have a lot of phobias. You have a lot of unresolved relationships with the environment. So, you know, nightmares scare you and the boogeyman's under the bed and all that stuff. And that sense of the world is what a adult philo has internalized. They're not even aware of it. That's why, you know, the marketing and the culture takes advantage of that. So this is a great little thing I found on YouTube that talks about depression. And it does it from the entire philo spectrum. And I just we'll play it, and maybe we'll discuss with some callers as they dial in. So we'll play it first, and I'll try not to laugh too much. Hold on.
I don't remember how it came up, but one time I mentioned to a coworker that I had been kind of bummed out, and her advice to me was that I shouldn't be sad, that I should be happy. She went on to say that I shouldn't think about bad things, but I should think about good things instead, and whenever she's sad, she just thinks about flowers, rainbows, and cute puppies, and that tomorrow is going to be a sunny day. She told me to try it, that I'd feel better. Happy, 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 happy. Then for the next 2 months, she forwarded me emails with pictures of kittens in them. I also once said something similar to this guy I met at a party, and he told me that I had to just get over it, that I had to lighten up and get outside myself, and that talking to me was bringing him down. And then he said he didn't want me to be offended or anything, but that I was really kind of a drag. This teacher I had called me young man and said that I had no business being morose, as I have clothes on my back, a roof over my head, and food on the table, and that when he was a boy, his father worked 3 jobs and they were still struggling to get by, but he and his family were proud people and that they had each other. And he said that any troubles I think I have were insignificant in comparison, and so I should just buck up and stop talking nonsense. My sister said that she had been depressed too, and that she felt like she had wasted her life, and that she just thinks of all the things that she should have done, and now it's too late, and that her life feels meaningless, and that it was as if everyone else in the world was on the happy boat that left the shore and she was stuck on Lonely Island. And lastly, this guy I used to know in high school told me that if you're bummed, what you really had to do was lift weights, because if you lift weights, you get big, and then you can get a cool car, and then you can fuck chicks. He said that that's what he did, that he used to be skinny, but then he started to lift weights, and after a few months, he was big. And then he got himself a Ford Mustang, and now he fucks chicks. And then he went over it again. He told me that I should lift, get big, get a cool car, and fuck chicks. And then he said not to worry about it, that I was going to be all right.
God.
That is so damn good. I'm going to give this guy a plug. It's IngredientX, I guess it's called, .com is the website. Oh, my God, is that funny. So if you go over to YouTube, it's the title of it is Mere Existence or something like that. I guess I'll put it on the blog later. I'm too lazy to do it now. Exo de facto. What the heck is that? Anyway, so can you sense the theme of the philo universe there of dealing with depression? It's like, to them, that's the worst thing to feel is down. And you saw how as he went through and asked for help, because that's the first thing a philo does, is they ask for help from some other person, because that's the way they sort. And then the strategies they got were basically not to get to the heart of the depression, but to do something to get rid of the effects of it. And that's pretty much what you see in you know, the most mainstream approaches to anything to do with mental health or even physical health. They just fast temporary relief. That only works for a baby because the baby's day is 3 hours long and they go to sleep again. You know, so it's all schooled towards that orientation, and that's what we've biologically kind of aligned ourselves with as a culture. And I just think it's hilarious because when you see it put, and that guy put together some unbelievable stuff on YouTube, so I'll make sure and throw that up on the blog later. I just think it's hilarious.
I got a comment from a Philo who said that she thinks we bust Philo's chops too much and that
who's going to do it if we don't do it? Of course not.
Well,
the father would feel that.
Well, you know, figured I'd share that.
This is the story. The story in a nutshell with the Philo is the equal sign. When they perceive equality, then they feel that there's coherence in the room. When they perceive inequality, then they start to get nutty. And especially like the whole thing of picking on someone. The thing is that their feelings don't just pertain to them. They feel for any victim. Any person that's in a powerless position, any person that's subordinate, any person that's been oppressed, it's a maternal sort of domain in the sense that it's trying to balance out things that are never intended to be balanced. It's one of those things where you'll hear it in a kind of Philo speak where they want to be friends with their kids. No, friendly to your kids, not a friend, not a peer.
Yeah, that's
the parent.
The problem. You cannot be a friend to your kids. That makes them very, very difficult to raise later on when they become teenagers.
Well, I watch it sometimes because a lot you see in the stores, and they'll be asking this 3 or 4 year old sometimes 87 questions of what they want to buy in the supermarket. You know, do you want Fruity Pebbles? Do you want this kind of Pebbles? And it's like the kid is flooded with choices. The kid doesn't have a nervous system to deal with that, so they internalize the sense of I make decisions, I'm the one that runs the show here. So then later on, when it comes time to go to bed or brush your teeth and the parent tries to exert some authority, forget it.
Yeah.
You know, and it isn't the opposite that's any better. I mean, you're treating the kid with absolutely like it's an animal and you just do what you're told and smack the kid around. Obviously, that doesn't work either. I'm just saying that the predominant theme has been to sort of take the parental role and push it into the role of being a peer or big brother or something like that. And you see this in the older Philo sect, where they're in their 30s or 40s, and they're dressing like they're 17, 18, 19 years old, and it looks painful.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. It really
that
is.
always makes me kind of go, ooh, boy. Because I'm, you know, ecos are the eternal teenagers, philos are the eternal kids, and it is very apparent who's who when you're looking around on the street. The ontos tend to be more formal and sort of accentuate themselves. Believe this phone.
Yeah, I do.
Relentless. Oh. There's the ghost of Marley calling in.
They all want you.
Yeah. Can't stand it.
Okay, bend over.
Can't you give me an hour off from the universe? Can't you?
Throw it out the window.
God. I think every plug is just, there you go. Be able to function. And anyway, what I'm trying to say, ontos tend to dress for the role they're playing, so they're very formal about it. So it's like I remember now, like kind of harking back to like Little League, the ontos on the team, they couldn't stand to have the uniform dirty. They would freak out, you know, button out of place. They couldn't stand it. Me, I had like half a tuna fish sandwich. You know, I was like
oh.
It was like pig pen. Yeah, my uniform shirt looked like something you'd wash your car with by the end of the season. I just didn't care. I want to win the game, you know. And I was ready to get down and dirty. The exos, though, they're the funniest about the way that they put themselves out in the world because they don't want to be seen, so they tend to dress very generically in the sense that they want to be kind of blend in, but they also are very impeccable. So they're very deliberate about stuff. So it's like they're the ones that are going to take the clothes back to the dry cleaner. You know, they're going to be sitting there trying to get like a stain out for hours and hours, where the aunt are much more on the defensive when they're out in the world.
Hey, there's a Philo in the house.
Uh-oh.
Philo
yeah.
in the house.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Woo-hoo.
Dr. Jeb descending in to his etheric beanbag.
All right, so you guys want to hear, you listen to this. You want to hear, here's Philo Week. Here's, in a nutshell, we are, you guys just were, it'll transport you. I am in my car, just got finished with a Little League game. I got Kelly and Greta in the back seat. I got to stop up and get a vitamin water now because the snack shack was closed at the baseball field. That means that we're now getting out of the car. We're going to walk into the vitamin shop with Kelly and Greta.
Oh, God.
And we're going to, into the store, we're going to get a couple vitamin waters for the kids. And then I'm going to go home, and then it's going to be, and I'm going to do this all while I'm talking to you two and the rest of the world listening in on Philo View.
This is actually eco-like behavior in the Philo world. I don't know if they're going to kick you out, but...
Well, it's because I got these strong eco signatures, you know?
Yeah, you definitely straddle up there.
Yeah,
My God.
He's big with the eco signature, no doubt.
Well, we were over at Mamaroneck early this afternoon getting our Philo tutorial from our prospective new landlord over there. That is
Larry.
Absolutely hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Larry, go to hell.
That's right. Told us that story today, too.
It was unbelievable. This guy's got 5 kids, and he was jealous that you had 6. We're going to have 6. And he's like 75.
Too big, Kelly.
So, all right, let me get my bearings again here because it's getting a little nutty here. We are, let's see. Phone number here again.
All right, now you're overstimulated. Let's get some beer in you and then it's right to bed.
No, this is what you can get. You can't get anything else with it.
Phone number again, 646-478-4847. Hang on to your hats, it's Philo Hour. Okay, rum. And so anyway, we met this guy, and it was absolutely. If we didn't know what we knew, we would have really thought we were abducted by aliens. But it's one of those things. Now, this is something that maybe you could attest to more than us. You meet somebody for the first time, you know, whether it's a prospective client or a new neighbor, whatever it is, and the Philo tends to find common ground quickest. Where are you from? Are you from Earth? Okay, let's have a conversation. You know. And it goes from there. Where the other three domains kind of take a graded potential toward it. Like, do I really want to talk to this guy? And the eco is the most evasive of all, because we're either going to be in your face or we're going to be out the door.
Mm-hmm.
The exo will attempt to ignore that you're there, unless you're on fire, and then he'll put you out and go back to what he was doing. And the onto will decide if you're useful or not to them, and that's pretty much it. That's what, you know, the spontaneity of that is. But this guy. We're going in there, and you know, we've been through a little bit of the mill looking around for space around here. And instead of taking the approach of trying to sell us the office space, he sold us on himself. He sold us on him and how he's been in town and how stable his place is and how much his tenants love him. And it was just, it was actually kind of refreshing because most of the landlords we meet are the opposite. They're standoffish and they don't give you any kind of information about themselves. And then we went back today, and we learned more about his family and the history of Mamaroneck, and it was just, I don't know. I drove out of there. I felt like I wanted to just get a big old, you know, blanket and get the marshmallows out. It was just it was kind of scary. But just to test to that from the standpoint of being inside the Philo world, you meet someone that's you know, total stranger. What's your hang time on finding common ground with that person?
Well, it's, you know, it's as soon as I meet him, I start making the assessment the minute I come into their field, you know. Come on, guys. The minute I come into their field, I'm starting to assess, is this person approachable or not? And hang on a second. Come on. rounding him off. Herding cats. Come on. Okay. Out the door. So, in other words, if I get into a group, I'm gonna first look for the Philo. I'm gonna look for that friendly Philo face, and I'm gonna profile the rest of the group and see who I can approach. If it's an awesome, I'm gonna avoid them for a little while until, just because I'm a little, you know, I'm leery of that. I don't need any more of that in my life. Just because that person sometimes is not gonna be the most approachable. You know, it's kind of what the vibe is. But yeah, I mean, but if it's just me and an Anto, I'm gonna give him a look. I'm gonna give him, hey, how's it going? Like, if I'm in the elevator and it's an Anto, I'm gonna give him a whirl. I'm gonna try to catch their eye, see if I can get that smile, and if I can get it, then you know I'm good.
You do have a little bit of a recall button. Then it is, you know, there's a tendency for some Philos that are very kind of one dimensional in the sense that they're always Philoing. Is that they're sort of shocked and surprised when the other person doesn't react like them.
Exactly, yeah. And that's, you know, that's one thing that, as much as you've always said, I'm just, you know, stone cold Philo, one thing I do know about myself is that there are times where I can be, I meet people sometimes, and I'm even shocked at how Philo they are. You know, it's like, it's the type of guy that just, you know, you're getting the elevator, and he's like practically in your lap, you know, and he's talking to you, and where are you from? And that annoys me sometimes, because it's just, it's a little too much. And I'm a little more reserved than that. I'll tell you, my fileness is more in, I'm looking for the connection. I don't want to tell you, I hate to use the word energetically, but it is that. It's, I'm looking for that person. Can I be in your space? And are you, and what's the vibe I'm feeling? That's very real to me. I may not interact with you, but I'm already going to know. By the time I leave the elevator, I'm going to know if I could have had a conversation, if there's a smile when you leave, if there's a smile and a nod. It's kind of all those things that are going on, instead of just ignoring you and not even knowing that I was, you know, I think Nora could get on 10 elevators with 100 people, and at the end of the day, you could ask her if she met anybody. She'd be like, no, you know, because where I would have met, you know, somebody on every elevator, I would have remembered somebody or two or three people on every single elevator.
The other thing, there's a spatial component, too, where Philos don't mind someone getting close to them if they feel like that person's safe. You know, mm-hmm. where I get on an elevator sometimes, and there's total empty space on the other side of the elevator, and the Philo will stand in the middle or to the right of the middle when I'm echoing on the wall, and I'm, you know, I'm concerned that, you know, did I say something wrong? Why are you coming at me? So I'll feel almost like a recoil button in myself to say, I don't know if this is cool. And the Philo will never sense that unless they feel that you're uncomfortable. Then they step away. Where the Ontos and the Exos, they don't even look at you. They'll stand an extra foot and a half away, and if you try to engage them, it takes two or three attempts to go, how you doing? How you doing?
Yeah.
How you doing?
Yeah.
You know, and I just think that's one of those things where if you get used to the domains, you get used to kind of profiling people that way, that those icebreakers, those first moments of the conversation when you're just engaging with someone, that is the Philo moment. You're either going to bond or you're not. And if you know what orientation that other person has, it makes it easier to kind of get into that that person's world. We were talking about with Lovable Larry over there, the Philo, the landlord, an experience he had showing the same space to an exo accountant, and he just couldn't. He said it was like oil and water. He could not get this guy to engage with him because the guy was asking him questions about taxes and factual questions about the space, and you know, and he was trying to like bond with him and tell him his whole story, and he was like, the guy wasn't having it. And it was just amusing to watch because you know what it's like when a Philo deals with an exo and there's just no return served. It's just it's like being on a tennis court and it's one person. You know, they keep cranking it over the net and nothing's coming back. And you don't know if they're hearing you, they're ignoring you, if you got to shake them, if they're still there, and you wake up and the conversation's over. You know, so it's my experience this week, spending hours and hours on tech support, was I found my inner Onto that because the tendency on all these helplines is to speak Philo but act exo. So they apologize for everything. Sorry to hear that, sir. Sorry to hear that, sir. You know, they're very, you know, they're subservient. No, I apologize for the difficulty. We'll rectify this. Too sweet, you know. And then they proceed to hang up on you. And it's like, you know, we'll forward you to the next room. And then you're off in some, you know, voicemail somewhere. And you call back and go, dude, you just sent me to Never Neverland. I'm sorry to hear that, sir. Hold, please. And they do it again. It's like, I had like 31 phone calls to get the tech support I needed to get my DSL fixed. And it was like every time I called, I go, are you shocked I'm calling back? I still have no service. You're supposed to be the guy that initiates this repair thing. I'm sorry to hear that, sir. And it was, you know, and you realize they're reading a script in New Delhi somewhere, but it was a brutal experience because every time you tried to engage them as a human being, they would talk that Philo, you know, kind of like apologetic stuff, and then they would just like clip you off at the knees again. I would rather they just dealt me like an exo and said, I'm hanging up now. You know,
Do you understand me?
Do you understand me? Yeah, that guy last week. Yeah, do you understand me? So I want to, since we're not getting any calls yet, I want to see if I can find another one of those clips. This is a relationship clip from the same guy that did the one we just played on the blog. And it is laugh out loud funny. It, written again in Philoese, I think on purpose, because the guy kind of that does it is kind of an exo. But just take a listen to this. I don't think you guys have heard this one yet, but very funny.
How to break up with your girlfriend in 64 easy steps. Phase 1, the build-up. Get a girlfriend. Be together for a while. Know you're going to be together forever. Think you're going to be together forever. Assume you're going to be together forever. Start to wonder if you really are going to be together forever. Start having sex a lot less often. Wonder if you're drifting apart. Have an argument about her parents. Have an argument about your parents. Have no idea who she's speaking to on the phone. Notice that other girls have been looking you over. Start complaining to your friends a lot. Have an argument about your job. Have an argument about your clothes. Have an argument about Valentine's Day. Have an argument about a frying pan. Break up. Phase 2, the second childhood. Feeling of relief. Feeling of anticipation. Feeling of adventure.
Yeah.
Feeling of light stomach. Start going to a lot of parties. Rediscover all the music you like. Start dating people casually. Have a one-night stand with a girl you met on the bus. Start making plans for your new future. Receive a drunk dial from ex-girlfriend while on the way home from a party. Meet at her place for a drink. Have sex. Phase 3, the back together. Talk about how much you've grown. Talk about how much you've missed each other. Talk about how much better things are now than before. Spend at least one major holiday looking at the stars on the roof of your apartment building. Sort of miss the feeling of freedom, but that's okay. Sort of miss the feeling of adventure, but that's okay. Sort of miss the music you were listening to, but that's okay. Start not having sex as often again, and that's not quite so okay. Have a small argument about a movie. Have a medium argument about money. Have a large argument about whether or not it's important to go to environmentally responsible gas stations. Have an insane argument that you can never really figure out what it was about. Break up. Phase 4, the third childhood, which incidentally is just like the second childhood with a lot less enthusiasm. Go out to parties again, but just for the hell of it. Go out to bars again, but just for the hell of it. Start getting bored of relief. Start getting bored of anticipation. Start getting bored of adventure. Start getting bored of all the music you like. Call ex-girlfriend with a question that you don't really need to know the answer to, but phrase it in a way that'll subtly indicate how much fun you're having. Decide it's time to find a new girlfriend. Notice that all the girls that had been looking you over have now stopped looking you over. Start looking at a lot of porn. Get kind of depressed. Phase 5, the recovery. Start to hate being alone. Start to really hate being alone. Start to really, really, totally, absolutely hate to be alone. Then decide that it's time to learn how to be alone. Get sort of good at being alone. Get better at being alone. As soon as you are perfectly happy and content about being alone, get a new girlfriend and repeat from beginning.
Wow.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, just two things before I take this call. Again, if you want to profile yourself, just go to our website. It's lightthepathlive.com. Click on the self-profiler. It takes you through the four distinct narratives that these domains offer and see which one you match up with, and it'll explain a little bit more about the different domains. And you'll see how that is just laugh out loud, Philo funny. And again, let's see. We'll take our call first, and I'll give you a number here. Okay. And you're on the air with Naked Summer. How can we help you?
Being alone, get a new girl.
Go ahead, caller.
Hi, is this Dr.
Hey,
Mark?
Dr. Mark, how you doing?
Yes. I'm doing all right. Your show is pretty good, except for one thing. I don't hear enough of Professor Valerie speaking. I know that she's an excellent speaker, and she would add an awful lot to your program.
Well, she's got a mouth. She can talk. Go ahead, Val.
Come on,
hey, why don't you take this one on?
Let's hear you. Mom.
Hey,
God, honey, I love you.
Bye. Bye.
That was the worst attempt to Philo I've ever heard on the planet Earth.
That was so
funny. Hey, that was a setup from wow. Okay.
I saw the number come up. I said, here she comes.
Yeah, I saw the number. I was like, this is probably what I think it is, but let me go check.
That was funny.
Oh, boy. In case you missed it, that was Val's mom calling in to bontify the atmosphere for a couple of minutes. So let me give the vital statistics here again so that you guys can participate.
646.
There it is. 646. 478. Go ahead.
4847.
Okay. And once again, we're at that point now where we're finishing up, getting ready for summer here, and we're going to start getting into some things. We got some things on the horizon that next month we got Sopranos signing off the air. We're going to get into the domains of that show and how that's impacted the culture. And we're just hearing about the Italian-American conspiracy in Mamaroneck today. Pretty interesting. So ethnicity will become one of those things we'll be discussing next month. Come up a lot. So was that Jebster checking out, I guess?
I think he fell off.
Is, I think he dropped the call.
Yep.
Philo Ryle. Oh, I think he's back.
Yeah, that's just me.
Okay.
Went from cell to land. I'm back at home.
So did anyone notice that the report today in the New York Post, which is all the news that's fit to shove in your face, that Joey and Amy are moving in together in Holtsville, Long Island? Yes, Joey Buttafuoco moving in with Amy Fisher.
Oh, please.
Not bad. Not bad at all. And there's talk of a reality show, but who knows? I think that their present experience is reality enough for me, but, you know, yeah, he's flying to New York, and he's going to be moving in this weekend to Holtsville, Long Island apartment, and I guess, or home, whatever it is. Apparently, I didn't realize this, but Joey had another wife, Ivanka, after Mary Jo, and Amy had a husband. I thought, how long has she been out of jail? Has it been that long? I didn't know.
She works fast.
It could be that long. I think it was 2002.
Is this Joey's third or fourth childhood?
Third or fourth wife. and she's 32, he's 53. So they were last lovers 15 years ago. And you know the rest of the story if you followed it at all. But they did like this reuniting for the cameras, and everyone there was in the Sunday papers around here. And then it was like, okay, the joke's over. No, he's moving in. So I thought I passed that along. And, of course, the Philo Nation will devour that. But when you think of it, you know, what's Amy? You know, she acts kind of like, you know, the Lolita and all that, but she's really eco. And she's psycho-eco, actually.
She really is.
And, yeah, and Mary Jo was an aunt, though, who got the gun to the head, so you figure that out. And for me, I look at Joey, and I don't see Philo. I see more eco because he's always in trouble. So there's two egos. So go figure that. You know,
that's a train wreck. That's a train wreck waiting to happen.
Oh, well, yeah, come on. Joey spent more time in jail than Amy, I think, the last 10 or 15 years. He's been out of jail about three. He looks like Robert De Niro from Cape Fear now. You see him on TV. Kind of cracks me up. I figured I'd pass that along because, you know, we have to keep up to, you know, with the tabloids with this stuff. So, all right, so I guess let me see. Go back a little bit around
Anto
here.
Anto Dog at it, barking away here.
Anto Dog chiming in.
That's right.
And the Mets are up 1-0 in the fourth inning, and the Yankees are up 6-0 top of the fifth. Anyone simulcasting? Multitasking? And I guess, like I said, what we're going to get into now is I want to go through the domains again and sort of get your guys' thumbnails on it, because I talk about this stuff enough, is that we put the self-profiler up last week, and I'm going to start adding the galleries this weekend now that I'm back online, so that you guys can start getting both the visual language of recognizing how these things look in the world and also how they tell themselves a story on the inside. Because your identity is not just a one-dimensional thing, and that's what I really wanted to communicate with that self-profiler. To get people used to this language, it really is about telling yourself your own story and kind of recognizing yourself. The way you'd recognize yourself in a mirror is the way you'd recognize yourself in these narratives. So let's see if I can just walk over and pull up one of the narratives. I just want to give you an example of the difference between a Philo reading a Philo narrative and an eco reading it. I'll use the Buttafuoco page to get over to Light the Path Live.
Yeah, I used that with my students yesterday in class. Their first introduction to the domains, and I had them read that, and they thought it was pretty interesting. And most of them said that they were Philo, according to that. They felt that they were more Philo. We didn't do the whole thing, but we just did the one reading in the classroom.
Yeah, and
all
again,
all the Philo's doing summer school.
Yeah, really? What's up with that?
I don't know.
They
all look so thrilled to be there.
Usually it is the eco in summer school type.
Yeah, I think a lot of them are eco looking around, but they think they're Philo, so we'll fix that.
So let's go through these quick and see if we can get some people to call up and see which ones they think they are. I'll have them read them on the air if they call them in. So are you in front of a computer there, Jeffster, or are you still running around?
I'm still running around.
Okay.
I could be, though. Hang on a sec. Go ahead and read a... The other ones, I'll get that up, and then I'll...
Okay. All right,
I can
so
read
here's
that one, and then I can shoot back.
I'll read the Anta one first, and just see if I'm reading this to you as a narrative about me, about describing myself. You know, just see if you buy it as I'm saying it. I don't buy it just looking at it, but just see if the truth comes out of my voice here. All right. So you meet me, and I go, I'm someone who needs to be on my A game and in control of what I'm doing. I value and nurture my ideas and enjoy many creative moments. I can accurately advise other people and feel a profound frustration when that's not welcomed. I'm a team leader and thrive in group settings where there's a clear goal. Some would say I'm overly assertive, but in fact I need to make some kind of impact in order to know I'm fully interacting. My thoughts are my guiding force, and I'm very aware when they are cluttered or upset. I like being considered a peak performer. More than anything, I want to leave an unforgettable legacy. So that's the Anto narrative. Me saying it don't sound too true. If Val's mother called back, though, different story. All right? Val, why don't you read the Eco one?
Oh, I would have to be on the website to do that, wouldn't I? Hold on.
Eco to Eco.
There we go. Hold on 1 second. All right. Should pop right up here. Here we go. All right. Eco. Okay. I place myself at the cutting edge and need a variety of activities to be at my best. I value and nurture my environments and enjoy many sacred and special places I go mentally and physically. I can easily commune with others, and I feel a profound sense of dread when that's not possible. I'm a team mascot and thrive in a group setting where I can improvise. Some would say that I'm overly flamboyant, but in fact, I need to make some kind of overt gesture in order to know I'm fully interacting. My actions are my guiding force. And I'm very aware when I've gone too far, but I usually just keep going. I like being considered a maverick, an innovator, and a free spirit. More than anything, I want to experience the unknown and share it with everyone.
Hmm. Now, you notice how I made about 27, mistakes reading it and got lost, and you read that, start to finish without a glitch? It flowed right out of you. And you're listening to it, you don't feel it, you don't feel any kind of tinniness to it. You know?
Right. That's
so
right.
I'll read the Exo one, and I'll read it slower so that the philos can hear me.
You're such an ass.
Yes, well. What's that line about keep going? Okay. All right, here I am playing Exo, right? I consider myself a very intricate and precise person and need structure to be at my best. I value and nurture information and enjoy customizing new technologies to suit myself. I can easily ignore others and feel a profound sense of irritation when that's not possible. I'm a team organizer and thrive in group settings where I can analyze their productivity. Some would say I'm overly serious, but in fact, I need to make some kind of classification in order to know I'm fully interacting. Data is my driving force, and I'm very good at methodically tracking multiple layers of detailed information. I like being considered an expert translator, synthesizer, and skilled worker. More than anything, I want the world to become more open to the facts that run our lives. Okay, shoot me. All right. Well, now the funny part is that I do multitask, and I do get irritated if people bug me when I want to be alone. But the point is that that's not internalized to me. That's something that socially, kind of interacting, it kind of bubbles up, but it's not core to me. The Eco one, the story that Val read, is much more core to me. So, okay. So, Jebster, you're on the site yet? He's efforting.
Hang on a second.
So we got the Philo one to read. But the point is, as you read these narratives, you read them to yourself first, then you read them into the mirror, which is a little daunting at first. When you're trying to sell yourself on your own life story, it's a little daunting. Then the real acid test is you read them to someone else. And you really get the believability out of it that way, and it starts to bring up a lot of emotions. A lot of people that are on the line between some of these domains, you'll see how your stories kind of weave in and out of these different narratives, and you're sort of... an amalgam of all these things, but there's one that really kind of rings true that you can kind of say, okay, out of these four, I resonate with this one the most, and that's your primary domain, and that's the way you construct your reality on the inside, the way you animate yourself physically on the outside and communicate to other people through that orientation, and that's why the Philos have such a hard time when they meet someone who's not Philo, because almost everyone they meet is. All right? You ready?
I'm ready. I'm somebody who needs people around me all the time to be at my best. I value and nurture my relationships and enjoy many long-term friendships. I can easily bond with others and feel a profound sense of loss when that's not possible. I'm a team player and thrive in group settings where I can contribute. Hang on a second. Huh?
my mother chiming in on the IM. She said that my mom said I speak wonderfully, and to tell Mark he's no Val, but he did well too.
Thank you, Bonnie.
All right, I can easily bond with others and feel a profound sense of loss when that's not possible. I'm a team player and thrive in group settings where I can contribute. Some would say that I'm overly sensitive, but in fact, I need to make some kind of contact in order to know I'm fully interacting. My feelings are my guiding force, and I'm very aware and respectful not to offend other people. I like being considered a good neighbor, relative, and citizen. More than anything, I want a long, happy life.
See, the funny part is, this is a philo with low coherence who's saturated with kids right now, who is not buying half that story as much as he normally would. But the thing is, the elements of it are very clear, is that it's about relationships, it's about the people in his life, it's about belonging, all these things that kind of permeate the first, you know, 25 years of life. It's about being included. And the worst thing that can happen at any stage of life that a philo experiences is that feeling of being outsider, not being one with the team or one with the group. And that sort of, that whole thing about making contact, it usually means physical contact. It usually means I want to be in your presence. I don't want to be remote. And that's why
you were saying I'm low code now, and there's a little element of that because like the story that we just heard about my day. But when I read this, the stuff that totally taps in, it's like I don't need people around. I need certain people around all the time. I like to have Nora around. I like to. So I'm splitting hairs a little bit, but the egoness in me keeps me that little bit of separate. You know, there's that time where I want to have, where I do eco so much, but I can easily bond with others, feel a profound sense of loss when that's not possible. Mm-hmm. A team player. Now, here's the funny. This is what made me laugh when I was reading it. Some would say that I'm overly sensitive. I can't tell you 1,000 times I'm a kid. Oh, you're too sensitive. You know, I get yelled at, I cry. You're too sensitive. And now it's like, of course, I've got no choice. And then now I get it from
from all sides.
Deonto, you know, constantly.
Well, your dad was what, Ecto? Your dad's Deonto too? Oh, God.
Yeah, I married my father.
You've had like 40 years of this. This is enough.
Yeah.
That's the thing. The philos, as they age, and you get north of 25, and you have the adult brain, and all four domains are sort of up for grabs because your brain becomes more social and less developmentally and biologically rooted. Is that these other stories, these other narratives that have been in the background start to bleed into your primary one, and they're not. What happens is what used to be a solid blue becomes a little bit, pastel because you're not as rooted in that biological reality as you were upstream. So the sensitivity that served you as a kid because you were vulnerable and you wanted it to be reunited, now it's like it's almost like, yeah, I'm sensitive. You got a problem with that? So it's so funny how things kind of flip around as you get older with these, as you age in the domains, how these things go through their course. Because the one thing that a philo is really interested in is their longevity. Anything that gets in the way of their longevity, it's always funny how you see, yada 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 died 52 years old. He was so young, and everyone goes crazy. No, he died exactly when he was supposed to. The bus hit him. He died. You know. So it's like, for some reason, philos have this entitlement to 85 years, and anything that gets in the way with that is he was young. He was 63. He was just getting his stride. And it's for an eco where every moment is pretty much a bewilderment followed by a realization that you're still here. You really can't grade it on that scale. We don't think linearly in eco world. So philos, they have that tendency to be very linear. And very chronological in the way that they communicate about themselves. That's why when you read that structure, that narrative, it starts off with, well, the first thing I orient myself to is people. If you think of a baby, if a baby's left alone, they freak out. You know, and a baby that's not stimulated enough doesn't develop. So there's a biological reality to this. You can't just say, oh, that's their quirk and that's their, you know, it's almost likening it the other day to the personality development, which really is something that happens two floors up. This is happening, you know, down where on a biological level, where you're not really, influencing it much. You're just drinking in the experience, and it's causing development to happen. So,
it's funny about what you say about, like you say, you know, because I do get mad sometimes. Like, well, I am sensitive, you know, goddamn it. But then then what I always do is the minute I say that, I start feeling like, was I too harsh? Did I break the bond? Because it's always about, even if I am mad and totally know I'm entitled to my opinion or my upset, I'm immediately looking to see, looking for the body language, looking for whoever it is, whether it's kids or my wife or a patient or a staff member. I'm always looking for that body language to make sure I didn't upset the relationship. Because,
mm-hmm.
as I've told you before, from my perspective, when the relationship, when there's an upset, it's the end of the world. It's always over every time.
It's so even a dirty look can cause you to go up the tree and say, this is it, this is the end?
What's that?
I've had, see, egos are the opposite. It's almost like, you know, that which does not kill me makes me stronger. It's like, that's your best shot, you know, because we're so used to being in trouble. We're so used to being the kid that gets, I remember in grade school, there was fire drills where these Onto kids would like lock a philo in like a gym locker or something like that. You know, they would do the most vile things, and I'd be like tying my shoe. They'd be like, "Floppy."
Yeah.
It was like, you know, I was always the one that was made exam. Miss Bailey, I just had a thought of me. Oh, that freaking woman! I hope she rots in her grave right now. This woman would take everything out on me in her life. She was one of these aging gym teachers who, let's just say, wasn't the most personable, you know, type in the world. And
an exo fun bag chick.
Yeah, exo fun bag chick, exactly. And the old little scooters in elementary school that you have relay races on and stuff, these little square scooters
those were fun.
Yeah. Now, these scooters, we have these relay races. I was a really good scooter kid, right? So I was always the anchor in the race. And there was a long straightaway in the gym, and I would go flying by all these filos going 100 miles an hour. And the rule was, and I could still feel, oh, God, it's gonna haunt me until I'm 100 years old. She would scream at the top of her lungs in that shrill, like I've been smoking for 50 years voice, you know. No, flying angels! That was the thing you weren't allowed to do. And a flying angel basically was you would go really fast, and then you would like sit up on your knees and put your arms out like a bird,
mm-hmm.
and you would go flying, but you couldn't control the turns. You would crash into the wall usually. And it was, to me, Nico, this was the height of fun.
That was fun.
And you could take out 6 or 7 philos in the process. It was really fun. Yeah. And if some of them happened to be like people you didn't like, even more fun. And it was a relay race. So I was like a kamikaze. So I would take out, you know, the 100 all these kids going around the turn. I would go, and I'd do a flying angel. And she would stop the race with that stinking whistle of hers, and it would echo in the gym. And she'd walk over, take my scooter away, and stick me in a corner. And it was, and you think I would learn? No, this went on for years. No flying angels, and it was always me and my friend Guy DePrisco, a fellow eco, who was really fast on that thing, and he would do it toward the finish line and really piss her off because he would win the race and he'd be doing a flying angels and went across the finish line. And I just remember graduating that elementary school, and my daughter's going to graduate next month. And me and Guy, he was D, I'm F in the alphabet. We're walking off the stage, and there's Miss Bailey in the front row. Still wearing sweatpants at the graduation, by the way, with the racing stripe. Sitting there, we probably had a whistle on, you know. So we both went down the stage in our cap and gown, doing the flying angel, thumb on our nose to the end. When you talk about being sensitive, we're almost hypersensitive. You guys are accused of being too sensitive. And eco is like, oh yeah, and we'll always ratchet it up another level.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever level you think the line is. That's to us. That's the starting point for the next encounter. So we're a little bit, like I said, we're kind of a pain because yelling at us or getting us in trouble or you know the threat of the relationship ending isn't really the penultimate thing for an eco. The penultimate thing for an eco is that the emotional bond is broken, not the physical bond, not the mental bond, not the social bond, but on an emotional level. That I'm not heard and I'm not felt, and so when we feel like the cold shoulder coming at us, we just decide, okay, fair is fair. I was just telling Val before that I took a philosophy class in college sophomore year, and with Joe Gillespie, an eco from Atlantis, I call him. He looked like almost like a combination of the creature from the Black Lagoon and Einstein. He had that big bushy hair.
Oh my!
And his whole deal was. He was very intense. We did all this stuff on all these ancient philosophers and Kant and things like that, and he was comparing all these things, and he would come at you with a Socratic method out of nowhere, and he was just all over the place. And he was like a poet. He was like in his 30s. He was always doing the weird stuff. And the final, you go in for the final exam, and you open up the little blue book, and the question is why? Now, we did a lot of intense work the whole semester, 15 weeks. I must have wrote like, you know, 1,000 of these essays. And the question at the end of a philosophy class was, why? I looked at him, I looked around, I went, why not?
And my friends were like, you know, you got hit. And they all said the same thing. Why not? That was their initial reaction. None of the Philos had the guts to hand that in. But I went, you know what? This is a three-credit class? It's not my major. This guy's being a wise ass. Why not? I handed it in. I was the only one who got an A. Because he was trying to teach us the difference between rhetoric and an argument, and why is a divergent question. So the only way to negate it is to ask why not. That balances it out. And I did it because I was an eco, and I went, that's a wise-ass question. Here's a wise-ass answer. I'm done with my final. It's one less final I got to take, you know?
That was my strategy. Was it an eco teacher?
It was an eco teacher, an uber eco teacher, who was basically the entire semester was making philos cry because he would question them, and the philos, because of that linear way of thinking, he would do like Socratic stuff.
He was the one. He was the one with Einstein hair.
Yeah, crazy guy, Joe Gill.
Okay.
And he would come at you, and he would sit down. He would always do like a Donahue thing. He wouldn't just stay in front of the class. He would sit down in a seat next to you in the classroom, and he would interview you in front of the whole class. When did you originally start thinking that? And why do you think you think that? And why do you think thinking that works? And why do you think thinking that works now? You know, that kind of thing. And these philos, you know, this is like a 9 o'clock class on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. They were like freaked out that he would come near them. And it was like, you know, especially the little philo gaggle of women in the back who just didn't want to be bothered. And he would make them stand up, he'd make them come to the front, he goes, you know, you can't overcome a fear in the back of the class. And he'd grab them by the hand, walk them up in the front. It was like cringe radio kind of a class. It was like you go to the class, like, who's he gonna get today? You know, and if you you know, on a Friday, if you like weren't into it or something like that, he would like, you know, he would make an example of you. So it was a very intense class, and it was all about the masters of philosophy through history. So he would have you act out, okay, you're Plato, and you're this guy, and you're that guy. Now, have an argument about the NFL football game yesterday or something like that. And you had to do all this role-playing and stuff. It was a very 70s class in the early 80s, and he probably was shown the door shortly after I graduated. But Joe Gill was, and he was always at the, you know, the student rat drinking, and he was bowling all the time. It was very strange thinking about him today, because it's that thing where ecos don't perceive authority from the social structure. You're my teacher, you're not my boss. So we don't have that mentality that just because I'm the teacher that you're my employee, you're my underling, you're my subordinate. We're egalitarian in the sense that we perceive people to be equal if we're treated fairly. We don't have that sort of stratification the way the rest of the world looks at things. So it was just funny to watch him just attack the philos in the room and make them accountable for that kind of groupthink that they had. He always looked for a difference in opinion.
Back to the, you know, if you go back to the elevator for a minute.
Yeah.
Because we need to rehash this. Because the reality is that I am pretty, I have a little bit of eco in me as far as signatures, but I'm pretty strong philo. And I think, you know, when you were saying if I'm in an elevator, I'm in a group, how long does it take me to connect with people?
Mm-hmm.
I really think that the philo connection is more, it's more, you know, you look at the person, you get their eye contact, you get the smile, but it's more the egos that get in your space. Like guy that, if I really think about it, it's the guys that walk right up to you in the elevator and will start talking. It just, if it's a philo might say hi and it's all kind of the sappy, sweet, nice, but the ego is the guy that gets on the elevator and goes, hey, see that fucking broad down there at the desk? You know, that's ego.
We don't have boundaries. That's the difference. Like you're trying, the story that an ego has is congruency. If it feels good to them on the inside, they figure it's just as good on the outside. Where a philo is going to hesitate because they don't want to upset the status quo, but
exactly,
they do.
They don't.
You know. Yeah, they want that. They want that kind of stability. Yeah.
They want the bond. We never want to go in, and you would never go start the conversation just with somebody because you might upset them. You don't know if they're ready for your conversation yet. You don't know, you know, you're kind of looking at the whole situation, taking care of it, but you're getting that coherence from them and trying to see what's their story, but you're really not going to go. Because, and that's where it comes in the whole philo thing of the whole kind of the racism and the prejudice, was we're always looking to see, are you part of my tribe? Are you part of my group? Because there's a lot of it where I don't want to let somebody in right away. Where, you know, I could be with you. It's like, you'll go talk to anybody really about anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll go be looking, and then I'll be like coming up behind, bonding, making sure that they're comfortable with that.
Well, you have a formal system for interacting because you're attuned to the social mores, and me, the rules are something someone else made up. I'm going on how I'm acting right now, so it's much more likely in a social setting that the phylo is going to commit, the exo is going to, I mean, the exo, the eco, I'll try one of them, is going to make the faux pas. But the phylo is going to be more in the mindset of what's the other person going to feel, and they're much more compassionate towards the receiver of the information rather than the eco is more just, you know, broadcasting and
It makes you laugh. My sister's just super eco, and she would always do this. My parents would always yell at her, you know, because she'd just start talking like in the middle of a thought, as if everybody knows what she's thinking, and she'd go, you know, I can't believe that happened yesterday. And they'd be like, what are you talking about, Tiffany? You know. And she's had this, she's like on, you know, she's three, four thoughts into a story,
mm-hmm.
and she just starts in there on the story, and nobody ever knew what she was talking about. And it just, and she would look with, you know, like, she would be, she would be, like, she couldn't believe it. You know, she couldn't believe that they didn't understand what she was talking about, didn't find it interesting, but then she would just, you know, go on her own thing. It didn't take long for her.
Again, no boundaries. I mean, Eco doesn't understand that the thoughts in his head are not being broadcast to the world. So it's like,
exactly.
I've been talking to myself for 5 minutes. Haven't you heard that? I mean, they don't perceive that as being the problem. You know?
Right.
So we got about 3 minutes left. I'm going to blow through the SomaScope for the week and take a look at the domains coming up next week, because we are heading to Onto Mountain.
Oh, my. Oh, hello, Janet. Shout out to my friend Janet, who just tuned in there. Hey, baby.
Yeah,
all right, go ahead.
It's time for that. So we're going to be, this is the last full moon of the spring season as we get ready for summer. So we're going to be dealing with the peak of anger in the future. So the wistfulness will be coming out, and the sense of exhaustion as you go from the foothills of the mountain to climb the Matterhorn. So the energy this week is going to be very intense. We're going to be getting into the 80s and 90s, I think, over here in the East Coast this weekend. So the humidity will rear its ugly head. So the ecos will be looking for cover. You'll find us in the frozen food aisle. We'll be in the movie theaters. We'll be in the dark. The ecos dread the end of the spring, because it means that it's going to become more the Onto season in the summer. And the Ontos, of course, rule with an iron fist, because them that's got the hammer use the hammer. So we are the cockroaches that go in the underground when that happens. And so you're going to see a lot of conflict between Onto and Eco this week as the energy level heats up. And you could just, you know, cue up the Some Like It Hot song, because it's going to be playing out. Philos, they love the summer. I don't know why, but for some reason it's kind of a kid theme. It's kind of a vacation theme. They get the movie. They get the barbecues going. So, and we're getting,
because,
you know,
somebody's in charge.
Onto's in charge.
Time.
Right. Mom and Dad are taking care of the farm, so we're going to have that going on. So you're going to see Philos are going to feel a sense of sort of ambient security, like everything's okay because it's summer again, you know. And of course, Exos are going to be in the garage or in the tool shed or in the basement fixing something, because, you know, this is what they do when the summer comes. It's like cue to repair everything in the house. So they'll be taking apart, you know, outlets and delving into your file cabinets and stuff like that, you know, vacuuming the shutters, all things like that. So look for that type of pattern as we go into next week, and we're going to be looking at some stuff with the book The Dip next week. I think I'm going to look at Seth Godin, who's become a sort of a virtual guru. For me, because he really understands the domains, even though he doesn't know a thing one about them yet. But he, as an Onto, has really taught me a lot about that. So we're going to get into that next week. So, all right. So we got about 40 seconds left. Again, just to reiterate, go to lightthepathlive.com and click on the self profiler to get your sense of which narrative fits you. And we'll be back again next week, 8 o'clock Wednesday night. So if you guys want to wrap it up, we got about 30 seconds to go. So I'll go to Val first.
You know what? I got nothing to wrap. I am so spent this week, and I'm not looking forward to Onto week. How's that?
Val is packing. Okay.
That's right.
And, Jeb, what do you got? We got about 20 seconds left.
Hey, it all sounds good to me. I think I'm looking forward to summer. I think it's great coming on.
Okay.
We got through the spring. Summer's, you know, weather's getting good. So
travel light, everybody.
Travel light.
Bye.
Into the darkness.
Yes. See you next week.
Bye.